Good day, and welcome to the Suez conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Jean-Louis Chaussade, Chief Executive Officer, and Christophe Creuse, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Chaussade, please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Thank you all for attending this short notice conference call regarding our 2017 financial estimates and 2018 outlook. I am with Christophe Creuse, our CFO. We will be available to answer all the questions you may have at the end of my speech. We decided to organize this call today as our board of directors held a meeting earlier in order to review our current 2017 financial estimates and our 2018 outlook. It was highlighted by the board of directors that during a year of strong transformation for Suez, with the integration of the support functions in France and the acquisition, of course, of GE Water, the company is expected to deliver its guidance for revenue organic growth, free cash flow generations, and financial leverage. According to plan, a dividend per share of €0.65 will also be proposed to the next general assembly. However, two specific operational elements weighed on our performance in the fourth quarter. The total impact on EBIT of those two elements was €45 million. As a result, organic growth in EBIT is now expected to be around -2% for the full year 2017, which means around €1,280 million. However, when excluding these specific items, the underlying EBIT growth trend remains in line with our initial expectations and the growth trend of 1.4% registered in the first 9 months of 2017. The first element, the rise in political uncertainty in Spain following the referendum in Catalonia, is leading to reluctance from local authorities to revise tariffs and invest in new infrastructures. Most of the decisions are postponed, which not only weighs on our growth trajectory, but also required some additional expenses, mainly at the end of Q4, in order to protect our business. The second element, due to growing operational difficulties, we decide to put an end to two service contracts in Mumbai and Casablanca. Finally, our 2017 net result group share should be around €300 million. It notably includes, as previously indicated, the cost of the acquisition of GE Water for €45 million, as well as the voluntary departure plan in France for €72 million. The other restructuring and transforming costs are offset by capital gains. In addition, the board of directors approved our 2018 outlook. It noted that once taking into account the 2018 guidance for WTS given during the Education Day in December, sell-side consensus is not consistent with the business trends we foreseen for 2018. In 2018, we expect that the performance of the group will be driven by strengthened momentum in both R&R Europe and International Division, as well as by the first full-year contribution of WTS. On the contrary, trends in Water Europe are expected to remain flattish, given the current political uncertainty in Spain and still low inflation in Europe and flat volumes. Hence, our 2018 outlook is the following. Organic revenues growth at around 1%, which translates into circa 9% growth at constant Forex when including the expected contributions of WTS. Accelerating EBIT organic growth at around 3%, which translates into circa 10% growth at constant Forex when including the expected contributions of WTS. Free cash flow around €1 billion, excluding one-off cash costs linked to both redundancy plant and integration of WTS. leverage going progressively back to around 3x by the end of 2018 as planned, and maintain an attractive dividend of at least 0.65 euros per share. This is sustained by the action plan that we have immediately put in place as soon as Q4 2017 in Spain in order to minimize the consequences of the current uncertainty and adapt the business to the new environment. As you can see, 2018 is expected to be a dynamic year for us, despite the lack of growth in the Water European divisions. Once again, it shows the relevance of our strategy of having a balanced business portfolio. The growth of our activities do not react to the same drivers. Waste is linked to industrial productions, while water is linked to climate and population growth. With the new breakdown of Suez portfolio, I expect to have our organic revenue growth maintained at group level at least 3% per annum beyond 2018. Let me remind you the reason why which supports my confidence for the future growth trends of Suez. While 2017 has been a transition year with the acquisition of GE Water and the implementation of the voluntary departure plan, my key priority now is to keep on focusing our efforts on transforming the group in order to strengthen our mid-term trajectory. This lies on 5 key areas. The first, we keep on strengthening our commercial teams in order to be more agile, more efficient, and more successful. We want to improve the success rate of large projects where we have a competitive advantage. That is why more commercial teams will be deployed on the ground. Second, we keep on investing in greater mutualizations with ever more integrations of our different subsidiaries, notably in Europe and in France. A dedicated team is in charge of its implementations. Third, we keep on investing in innovations and digitalizations. We have to remain at the forefront of the market evolutions. This is key to reinforce our leadership and remain a step ahead of competitions by offering added value services and opening up new markets, such as solutions for digital platforms, smart city management, or smart agriculture. We believe that we will be far above 100 million of revenue by 2020 for these new businesses. Fourth, the integration of GE Water will deliver its full potential. This acquisition brings an additional booster to the company and helps us to create value for our shareholders. The first milestones are very encouraging and well in line with our plan. Last but not least, as we already explained to you during the Education Day, the key account management network has been boosted by the acquisition of GE Water. We are now much better positioned to serve our industrial customer needs, combining our geographical footprint and our water and waste expertise. As an example, we have already identified more than $750 million of potential top-line synergies thanks to combined offer, cross-selling, and insourcing. All those elements makes me very confident. All the energy that we are currently deploying will transform the company and will make us even more successful in the future. Christophe Cross and myself, we are now ready to answer to your questions. Thank you so much for listening to me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. One moment, please. And we'll now take the first question from the line of Michel Debs with Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I have two questions, please. The first one, can we please get more numbers on 2018 targets? You've talked about growth rate. Could you please help us translate those growth rate ambitions into hard numbers for EBITDA, EBIT, and net income, please? And second question, you mentioned pressures in Spain. You mentioned the abandon of two contracts in Mumbai and Casablanca. Can you please tell us what, over the full year 2018, the impact of those three things will be on your numbers? Thank you very much.
Christophe, do you want to answer to the first question? On the second one, there is no, on the two contracts we have been talking about, Mumbai and Casablanca, you have no impact on 2018. And in Spain, we are, as I mentioned before, we are taking all the necessary steps in order to maintain the profitability of Spain in 2018. I am quite confident that can be achieved. But what we have been saying in terms of Water Europe is that Water Europe will be flattish in terms of growth, and you can probably give more color to the number, Christophe.
Yes, good evening, Michel. On top of the figures precise which are in the press release, so when it comes to turnover, we say that we expect at constant exchange rates a global growth by 9%, and then you could split that growth into two key components. The first one is the new additional contribution from what was before GE Water and which is now WTS, and which is going accordingly to what we said in December, about 2.8 billion euros. And then there will be the organic contribution for the three traditional divisions, and at sales level, we expect an organic growth by 1%. That 1%, as just said by Jean-Louis, should be probably split a little bit between the evolution, which will be more dynamic, that we are contemplating for the international division and the recycling division. But we expect a flattish contribution in terms of variation from the European water business for reasons we could dig in later on. When it comes to the other figures, they are just reflecting the traditional, I would say, discipline. Probably we will tackle them a little bit later.
Going back to WTS, the turnover of WTS in 2018 should be $2.8 billion. And as we mentioned before, the EBIT should be $200 million again. Exactly what we said to you in December.
Thank you, gentlemen. So just to be clear, you are not willing at this point to yet share a hard-numbered guidance for 2018. Can we maybe expect that with the full-year result presentation later on?
You will have a lot of details when we will disclose the detailed result of the group at the 1st of March, if I am not wrong. But we are giving you a lot of details about our 2018 exact number, actually. I don't know what is the number you are missing to understand our 2018 outlook.
Should I understand, Michel, you would appreciate some kind of bridge from 17 to 18?
That is exactly what I'm trying to do. Thank you very much.
Okay. So, point taken. So, if you start from 1.28 at the end of 2017, I'm at EBIT level, of course, then you should contemplate the additional contribution of WTS, which will be a change in scope from a methodology standpoint, which means three additional quarters, and this should represent approximately 100 million euros, I am using euros, on top of the contribution which is known for the last quarter. We can look at that more in detail. On top of that, I said for the three divisions, approximately 3% organic growth at EBIT level, it would represent something like, let us say, 38 million euros. And then you need to take into consideration three items which are probably important for your calculations. The first one is the Forex impact. Based upon the current rents, we do contemplate a negative impact by 25 million euros. Then there would be, like year after year, some light changes in scope. Our best assessment right now is minus 10 million euros. And the lightest item is more specific. It will be the consequence of the methodology change due to the change in the corporate tax rate for water-regulated businesses in America. So it is not specific to Suez. I want to make that very clear. And I suspect that we will see all the other companies doing the same. If you remember, the tax is some kind of a pass-through in the regulated water business. So what is the consequence of the so-called Trump reform? It is that everything else being constant at the net income level, it will be neutral at net income level. We will have less EBIT and less tax charge. And we do estimate that it will be minus 25 at EBIT level, but once again, totally offset at tax charge, so neutral at net income. So 100 from WTS, 38 from organic in the three divisions, Forex, scope, and that change with regards to tax charge, that should lead you to 1.36 for the EBIT contemplated this year, 2018, I mean.
Thank you. This is very clear.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Guy McKenzie with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. A couple of questions from me as well. Obviously, it was very clear on the numbers, Christophe, and you mentioned sort of the pressure in Water Europe, more dynamism in waste and international. But just given that guidance, it doesn't really sound like there is that much dynamism in waste and international. So I guess my question on this front is the 6-8% through cycle growth that we've been expecting in international. Back of the envelope, it seems like low single digit is more likely for next year. And do we expect to get back to that range still in the medium term? And also just on, you know, the French economic backdrop is starting to improve. I mean, are you seeing much of an impact in your waste business? Are you seeing much operating leverage to that? And then secondly, the free cash flow guidance doesn't seem to have changed, about $1 billion for this year, more than $1 billion for next year. I'm just wondering how you're able to offset the cash flow impact of the lower EBIT, whether some cash inflow is not reflected in earnings or whether there's some non-cash charges in there. And the third point, a final point, I guess, just on the dividend, you reiterated at least 0.65 euros per share, 65 euro cents per share, excuse me, for 2017, and I guess for 18. In both years, that will be in excess of your earnings per share, potentially even 19. Just wondering sort of what determines your policy on the dividend and whether you're looking at revisiting that over the next couple of years.
I'm going to answer the last questions and some others, and on the free cash flow stuff, you take the point. Well, I confirm that on 2017 of course, is the board will propose to the General Assembly meetings a dividend of 0.65. You are right to say that it will be slightly above the net result of the company, but don't forget that in 2017, the net result of the company has been impacted by two extraordinary, if I can say, elements. One is the 45 million we paid in terms of cost of acquisitions of GE Water, and the second one is a plan we already mentioned to you in several occasions, and the plan of redundancies, or exactly voluntary departure, which the cost of which will be around 72 million. So you can make some additions, and you will see that the normative, if I can say, net profit of the company should be in 2017 above 400 million. Well, for 2018, we do not disclose, at least for the time being, the net profit of the company, but clearly we want to achieve a number. We should be in line with the distributions of dividends that we expect. And once in 2018, 2018, we will have totally finished all the WTS, I should say, one-off cost that we mentioned during the December meetings. We will be, it is my my guess, we will be far above what we are paying as dividend when we talk about 0.65 euros per share. On the French business and on the international business, alors, on the international business, first of all, the trend we give, the 6-8%, first of all, it's a medium long-term trend. You cannot say 1 year, we cannot say it will be exactly the same each year. I think today that the 6-8 is probably slightly too high, and we are probably more in the range, let's say, of 4-6, but it's a high range of growth for international, and we are doing everything possible to continue to grow. And as I explained to you before, I gave some indications of what we are doing in order to grow the business at the international level. The French business, you ask me what is going, if I see any recovery, I confirm you that for the last 2 months of the year, and I have some preliminary indications on January, but you can imagine they are very limited. I confirm that we will see in the waste volume a recovery. Now, don't ask me to quantify that too much, because it is not easy for the time being. But yes, there is a kind of recovery in the volumes in the waste business.
So if I can attempt the next step, when it comes to your question related to EBIT and the couple between sales and EBIT, I remind you that the organic growth of revenue so should be around 1%, the organic growth, which translates into a 10% total growth at constant Forex, once we include the expected contribution of WTS. When I look at the various divisions, I repeat that when it comes to WTS, we exactly see the same dynamic outlook that we gave you during the discussion day in December, so the $2.8 billion for the year 2018, and with a contribution by $200 million at EBIT level. When it comes to Water Europe, clearly we expect a flattish situation. Very flattish in terms of sales for the reasons we explain, and also a very flattish situation in terms of EBIT contribution. Please don't forget that the profitability of that division is quite interesting, and we are quite pleased with that. I'm referring to change year on year, so it's going to be flattish. When it comes to recycling and recovery in Europe, we expect a growth higher than 2017, and I would say the same level of dynamism, which was good in 2017 in that division. And when it comes to the international division, for growth, there will be differences because we expect North America, Australia, and so on to be at the same level of dynamism. We need to take into consideration the fact that there was in 2017 a lack of new contracts in Middle East, and also it will be the end, it was the end in 2017 of a large construction contract in China. So we expect a growth at EBIT level quite dynamic. At sales level, I would say active, but not super dynamic. It's a positive comment in my wording. When it comes to free cash flow, first I dare to point out the extremely good quality, I dare to say that, of the free cash flow for 2017. Because first, we should have been able to reach 1 billion euros of free cash flow. Also, we had to cash out what was not expected or budgeted expenses related, for instance, to the acquisition cost of GE Water, and also the beginning of the cash out, which is associated to the, I would say, restructuring plan we have in the support function in France. And thanks to that good free cash flow, and I dare to say that it is another illustration of the quite correct and satisfactory discipline of the company when it comes to that, I'm also pleased to point out that our net debt to EBITDA ratio should be end of 17 in the range of 3.2 times, which is quite acceptable considering the acquisition of G Water. So that's why we say that we forecast also 1 billion free cash flow for 18, excluding what is going to be the end of the cash out associated to the restructuring plan and the specific cost which were detailed associated to G Water. And we said that we expect a progressive return to 3 times net debt to EBITDA at the end of 2018 in terms of leverage.
Okay, thank you. The 4-6% growth that you're looking at today in international, you mean for the very near term? Are you maintaining the 6-8% medium to long-term growth target, or should we be looking at 4-6%?
Probably we will use the presentation 1st of March to dig it a little bit into that, because there are several, I would say, considerations which are important. I give you two examples. The first one is our construction activity. I had the opportunity to say previously that 1 year is not a normal cycle when you look at that one. So it's clear that we have been, I would say, rather close to the bottom of the cycle. And if you take, for instance, what have been the recent announcements related to Suez in India, it is clear that we are going to offset that in the coming, I would say, months. But the average duration of the construction cycle is over 1 year. Second example, and we will give more detail, China. You know what has been our policy in China. We want to limit our capital exposure in order to be more risk-free and to have more opportunities to develop the business. We have a very significant gap, we were used to show that in the appendix of the yearly presentation, between the turnover and so-called the EBITDA and EBIT, which are under control, managed, that we do not account for, because you remember that in China we have a JV system, 50-50, and we change that slightly, another system with our partner in Asia. So if you look at what I call the managed figures, sales, EBITDA, EBIT, you would see that the growth at this level is quite equivalent to the 6-8%. So we will show you more in details. What we say is that right now, yes, we were used to say that the global sales growth could be 6-8%. We are not yet there. If you want me to give you a figure, I would say that in the coming 18 months, 2 years, probably between 4-6%. Global growth at sales level.
And EBIT level as well?
Usually we try to get a better performance at EBIT level compared to the performance at sales level.
And the example of China gives you a flavor.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Vincent Ayral with J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. A lot of the key questions have been asked, so I'll just ask for a few things there. Would like to know if we can get a bit more color on what really happened in Morocco and India. So where do we stop these contracts over there? So that's question number one. Question number two would be related to the G-Water acquisition and the PPA. I know at the time of the Investor Day, you did not have a number. I was just wondering, as we will have to redo our numbers very soon, if you had any indication on this specific point today. Thank you.
Good evening, Vincent. I tackle the PPA. It's too early, and you shouldn't expect a precise figure, because you can imagine the complexity of the operation. I would say not before end of June 18 for PPA, and we'll keep you posted as soon as there are new developments for sure.
Alors, in Morocco, in India, if I take the first example, the first case, Morocco. In Morocco, we had difficult discussions with the customers about the way the contract should have been done. As you know, it's a collection contract, and we try to improve it, and we try to discuss with the customer in order to find a reasonable solution for both parties. At the end of the day, when we saw that the customer didn't want to move on these positions, we decide that the best way for us was just to stop the contract and to leave. It is what we have done, and it is what we have account in our numbers. In India, it's a slightly different case. It's a case in which it's a kind of management contract with performance, and we were doing a lot of work according to the contract. But in the meantime, the customer should have himself done a series of work in order to make us able to fulfill our obligations. So when we saw that he was not doing such, we have a discussion with him, and we at the end decide to withdraw again because we could not find a satisfactory agreement with him. That is the situation of those two contracts, which are today closed.
We'll now take the next question from the line of James Brand with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I have three questions, if that's okay. The first is just a clarification on those two contracts and the costs that you've incurred in Q4. Can I just check whether that's a mix of lost profits and exceptional charges in Q4? I suppose it's probably most of the hit there is from exceptional charges relating to winding down the contracts, but I'm asking the question just because I want to get an idea of whether this is something that's, that one should strip out when thinking about the growth rates that you're giving for next year, or whether that's going to be something that, that builds over the course of next year as you lose profits for each of the quarters, and maybe a quantification on that. But the second question is around Spain. You've mentioned additional costs to stabilize the business. I was wondering whether you could be a bit more specific on how those costs are rising, if you could give us a bit more detail there on the precise pressures that you're facing. And then thirdly, you've given us a number for the integration costs to be booked below EBIT at GE Water for 2018, $80 million. But normally you incur some restructuring charges at the rest of your business. Might be a bit too early to give guidance on that, but I was wondering if you had a number in mind for what we should be putting in for restructuring charges for the remaining business next year. That'd be helpful in terms of us coming up with new earnings numbers. Thanks.
Maybe I can start, James, good evening, with the third question, which I relate to the global indication for the free cash flow for the year 2018. We said that when I say 1 billion, which is, I would say, the underpinning free cash flow, which is quite interesting, it is before taking into consideration two items. First, majority part of the restructuring plan for support function in France will lead to cash out, which are in 18 more than in 17. And second, those are the specific costs, which were detailed when we made the presentation for G, no change in terms of figures. Which are not exactly, I would say, restructuring, because they include either some specific payments which were agreed at the time of the definition of the acquisition plan, plus, as you remember, the cost of implementation of what we call a value capture exercise in order to deliver the synergies. Those two items, you could consider that as of today, our estimation is approximately €150 million.
About Spain, well, what I can add to what I just mentioned that is the fact that, yes, we have to take some specific measures to protect the business. Well, as I said before, it's become very difficult to discuss any tariff increase today in Spain and in Catalonia because the situation is such that nobody wants to talk with us. Second, we had to take some expenses in terms of communication and protections in order to explain our positions. I don't want to enter in too much detail, but you can imagine that we have to explain to the customer what is happening. We have to explain to the people in the street also what is happening. So we have a series of expenses which are linked to communications. So at the end of the day, what have been the expenses we have been occurred in 2017 was in the range, to give you a flavor, around 15 million. I suppose that we will have a similar impact in 2018, but I also are taking measure in order to offset that by savings. So at the end of the day, I suppose that as it is today should remain as it will be in 2018.
And when it comes to your first question, James, about those two contracts, first I precise that those 45, three contracts, including Spain, the total 45 million euros consequence is at both EBITDA and EBIT level. And probably in order to avoid any ambiguity, you should not conclude from that instantly there will be some kind of boomerang effect next year, because first, we have, and that was the decision we took, decided to exit those two activities. And as just said by Jean-Louis, there will be again additional expenses in Spain, but the cost and restructuring plan we have started to implement are going to offset that. So there is no other consequence, negative or positive, and there is that 45 million effect at the EBIT level in 2017.
Thank you.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Pinaki Das with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, gentlemen. Many thanks for taking my questions. I've got three questions. The first one is on the earnings outlook for 18 and the bridge. The second one is just on some of the contracts, and the third one is on your cost-cutting plan. So on the first question, I just wanted to understand, you've mentioned 10% EBIT growth, and the EBIT for 2017 is 1280. So is it 10% growth versus the 1280, which gets you to 1410 roughly? Is that the right way to look at it?
Pinaki, Christophe speaking. I don't think so, because I gave you the precise bridge some minutes ago when I answered the question at the beginning. What I propose is I can give it again, bilateral conversation, and that bridge, which includes, as I said, the WTS contribution, organic, forex, and the tax situation in the regulated water business, leads us to 1.36 for 2018. So what I propose is that we can look at that later more in detail, but I gave you an extremely precise bridge, I think.
You mentioned 10% on the press release. Yeah, that's
what
I was
asking. What I did is that in total, at Forex being constant, we said that EBIT from 18 to 17 should grow by a global 10%. And then you can split that 10% into two components. The first one is the additional contribution from WTS, which by methodology is some kind of scope change. It's not organic. And the second is the growth at organic level of the three traditional divisions. And I said that we expect, in average, an organic growth for those three divisions all together by 3% in 2018.
Okay, great. Thank you. And just looking at that 10% figure, it looks like if you just take GE Water, that should already be pretty close to that 10%. So I guess, there are other moving parts. That's fine. I'll take it offline. So that's all right. The second question I wanted to ask.
Excuse me, Pinaki. I would like I prefer to avoid any ambiguity. There are not other moving parts. It's really simply, on the one hand, the contribution of WTS. On the other one, on the organic growth from the three divisions. And then you have, but I gave the bridge once again, you have the Forex scope and the tax effect, which is just a swing between EBIT and tax. And I repeat, it is totally neutral because it is a pass-through at the net income level. But we can revisit that later on or tomorrow morning as early as you wish. No worry about that, sorry.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. And on the contract, I wanted to ask you, you've had a few, issues in Morocco, India, so that, understandable in this kind of business. Sometimes things happen. I guess, are there any other contracts that sort of make you worried? Anything happening in Chile, for example, where, there's elections, as I understand, or, you know, anything going on there? Or for example, if you look at Spain, I mean, you took a decision back in when the referendum was going on to shift your headquarters to Madrid. And do you think that sort of is having some sort of an impact when you're going to renegotiate now?
Alors, first of all, to answer completely your questions, yes, we have each year some contracts which are not going as well as expected, and normally we can absorb it. Which has been difficult is to have three contracts on Q4, which are coming, if I can say, nearly at the same time, and that's each of them we would have been able to cope with. The accumulation of three makes things more difficult. Now, you ask question about Spain and Chile. In Chile, the situation is absolutely stable, and the elections of the new president, Carlos Nieto, it's a president which is rightist. It's somebody which will not move the regulation as it is today. So I have no doubt that the regulation as it is today will continue at least for the next 5 years. Yes, it's Finance. Sorry, I make a mistake with Mexico, it's Piñera, and he is president of Chile, and he will become president of Chile. And what I said clearly, in my view, is not going to move anything about regulation. So I am quite confident in Chile. In Spain, but I give you the details. I am confident, but as I told you, I am confident in a context where things are complex. And there we are spending money in order to make sure that the situation keep stable in Spain, and make sure that the business are going to deliver as it is. So politically, we do not want to enter in politics, of course, but politically it's difficult. But the business is still there. What I am just highlighted to you is that we need to spend more money than expected due to this political situation.
Great. And sorry, thank you so much. And last question is around cost cutting. You know, given you've got a lower profitability outlook for 18, you know, do you think, you know, is there a sort of effort to increase your cost cutting targets, like the 160 million? Do you want to take it to a much higher number so that you're able to offset some of these pressures?
We will disclose our objective, full objective, the next 1st of March. What I can tell you about the cost cutting of 2017 is that it will be in line or probably slightly above the target we gave you at beginning of 2017.
But is it also fair to say that most of the cost cutting is being eaten up by some of these headwinds, as of today at least?
We are taking, if you are talking about 2018, we are, of course, as I mentioned in my speech, we are taking some measure in order to control our cost where the growth is not there. And in the meantime, we are taking also some specific measures to continue to grow where there is growth. And as I told you, we have growth in WTS, we have growth at international level. We see recovery and therefore growth in R&R, in our waste business, and we have the new businesses, as we call them, that are starting, plus the key account management that we are putting in place. For all that, that has, of course, a cost, but in the meantime, it will produce new possibility of development, new turnover, new revenues, and we will explain all that in details when we will publish our 2017 accounts, the 1st of March.
Great. Thank you so much.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Emmanuel Turpin with Société Générale. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, everybody, and I apologize for the background noise. First question, would you mind sharing with us what sort of macro assumptions you are taking for your budget in 2018? two KPIs, maybe volume, waste volumes, and then water tariffs in France. Again, I'm interested in the assumption you are making more than a forecast. Number two, I'm coming back on Spain, which has been a country on which you've done a good job, and it's been a country where contracts have usually been respected by the authorities. Now, is the problems which you are highlighting really, I would say, focused on the Catalonia region, or is it wider than that? Is there a refusal by some local authorities to implement the contractual tariff indexation, or just the absence of decision makers, as you may have hinted in your presentation? And therefore, shouldn't there be a contractual framework under which you should claw back the lost revenues for 17 and 18? Are you hopeful that you will see that contractual, those contractual tariff increases through over time, or do you think we should just forget about them? On last point is on free cash flow. We should expect in that 1 billion of free cash flow next year a contribution, a positive free cash flow from GE Water, right? Because your definition is pre charges. Is that the case? I was expecting maybe a run rate of about 100 million of free cash flow from GE Water. And should we expect the cash-in of the compensation from Argentina in 18? And if so, at what level are you taking it in your cash flow statement? Thank you very much.
I'm going to take the questions, geographical questions, about Spain and Argentina, and Christophe take the macro and cash flow. On Spain, I do not believe that we will have any kind of contractual issue. I think, as I was mentioning before, the contract will be, of course, totally fulfilled. But at the meantime, we do not have people able to take decisions because I should say the situation is such that nobody wants to take decisions. So it's not that we are losing rights, it's just that we have negotiations which can last longer, and of course we will have to negotiate something. It will be, if I can say, a face-to-face negotiation with the customers. I don't know exactly what is going to happen, but if your question was, are you afraid of the contractual frame works of your contract, the answer is absolutely no, and it is not what I have mentioned before. About Argentina, I will say that if I can summarize the situations, first of all, as you know, we have a definitive, a final decisions from the what we call the CIRDI, which is the arbitrary board of the World Bank. It's clear that Argentina shall pay $405 million to Suez for Aguas Argentina. It means for Buenos Aires. We have a second contract, Santa Fe, with, for the time being, no definitive decision, even if we know that in first instance there have been it has been said that the government of Argentina should pay to Suez something like $225 million. So if I concentrate on Argentina, it's on Aguas Argentinas, which means on the contract of Buenos Aires, the money should be paid sometime in the future. It is a contractual right. I can say that the World Bank has always, decisions has always been followed by the various countries and governments which has to go there. And the only thing I can say is, for the time being, I have no idea when we can register, if we can be paid and registered, and we will not move in our accounts as long as we do not have received the money. So yes, we work a lot. We expect to get something in the future. I have no time frame, and I will not speak about anything up to the time where I will have the money in my pocket, if I can be very clear. Christophe?
Good evening, Emmanuel. With regards to the WTS free cash flow, we fully confirm, I would say, the business model and the figures we gave 1 month ago, which mean by definition that free cash flow, the contribution of WTS is positive, and it is an illustration of what was one of the reasons for which we were quite attracted by that business model, which is that the EBITDA minus CAPEX standard of that business model is much better due to the low capital intensity. So yes, I confirm that the contribution is positive, even after taking into consideration specific cash out. But when it comes to our definition of free cash flow, I answer very clearly yes. When it comes to the macro assumptions, I would split them basically between, I would say, large macro assumptions when it comes to inflation, forex, and so on and so on. We take usual forecasts which are given by IMF, OECD, and so on. When it comes to our more specific assumptions, for waste business and basically the European waste business, you remember that what we follow up is what is the prognosis for the industrial output with the specific weight country by country to reflect our own, I would say, geographical scope. So we are just following what are today the forecasts for industrial output in that weighted average in Europe. For water volumes in Spain and France, as said previously, this is very, very flattish, because you still remember that our trend for volumes is basically year after year minus 1%. So there are ups and downs which are reflecting basically weather and condition and things like that, but we don't change from that trend. And when it comes to prices, even the escalation formula could be very, very likely, it has to be confirmed because it is on, I would say, basically quarterly recalculation. In the global context of no inflation, let us say also that the tariffs are very flat. And maybe you remember that I had the opportunity to say many times for the last 12 months that on top of the fact that when tariffs are flat, it has direct consequences upon, I would say, income. It is also a major obstacle, I would say a mood obstacle, in order to sell additional service. When everything is flat, it's much more difficult to sell additional services. So very flattish in the Spanish and French water business.
We'll now take our next question from the line of Vincent Ayral with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Well, sorry, just coming back with two very quick questions, just to be sure I understood. So we had an impact from the cessation of contracts on Morocco and India. So that was 2017. But what is the EBITDA or the EBIT loss going forward? So for 2018, etc. So when we do the bridge, obviously we do not see these elements as a separate. So that was one question. And then the last question is regarding the timing of this event. I understand that the Morocco contract was terminated in the autumn rather than September, and we've known there were an issue in Spain for a little while. So just wondering why this is done now and not at the Investor Day we had back in December. Something must have changed. So if you could give us a bit of color on the what has changed since then. Thank you very much.
Okay, and thank you for the last part of your question. So I repeat that the 45 hit, 3 times 15 to be very precise, is both at EBITDA and EBIT level. So it is minus 45 in 2017, and it turns into a zero in 18. There is no further consequence. But it is not, I would say, so what I call the boomerang effect. So minus 45 in 17 and zero in 18. About, probably Jean-Louis will make an additional comment, but if I dare to split your question into two parts. If the question is, did you discover that by coincidence, the answer is obviously no. We even made a communication about the Casablanca situation, I think it was in October or something like that. Spain, even if the, I would say, the grand total of the expenses was updated on the very first days of 2018, it was, we were not taken by surprise. And when it comes to Mumbai, I would say that difficult conversation with the customers that started probably more than 18 months ago. And as said by Jean-Louis some minutes ago, would there have been one topic only, probably we would have decided to swallow it, including the benefit of, as said by Jean-Louis, probably our Compass program is going to be slightly above 150, but it will be a bit. As we took recently the decision to tackle with these three situations all together, that makes the difference. And by the way, you will notice that once that has been approved by the board, we are talking to you instantly on tonight.
Well, I would like to add one point in Spain. In Spain, it was very difficult. I remember that the referendum was, if I am not wrong, the 2nd of October. It was extremely difficult to determine in advance what could be the direct consequences, and I can tell you that I was myself surprised by the referendum itself and its own consequences, at least political consequences. So therefore you should accept the fact that when at the end of the year, beginning of this year, it's been 15 or 20 days ago, I looked to the sum of the three events. As I mentioned by Christophe, I could have swallowed one, probably one and a half, but not three. And therefore, we decide to communicate as, first of all, we decide to stop. And when you say that we knew in October the contract of Casablanca, you have to understand that in October we still had some negotiation, and we still have negotiation to finalize the contract. And in Mumbai, we decide also to stop the contract. It was a difficult contract, so I put an end to the contract. So at the end of the day, it's the cumulative sum of the three contracts which makes the things more difficult.
Thank you very much.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now take our next question from the line of Ahmed Farman with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Just two questions from my side. Could you share with us your expectations for the CapEx spend for 2018 and maybe talk us about how much of that you consider to be maintenance and how much growth and how much of that is already included in your free cash flow definition 2018? That's the first question. And the second one, I just want to confirm, I think there was a discussion earlier on about dividend cover for 2018. And did I get this correctly, that you expect at the DPS floor of 65 cents, the cover to be above 1 for 2018? Thank you.
Okay. When it comes to CapEx, good evening, Ahmed. I would say there will be stability. It's clear that, as I told you, 3.2 times net debt to EBITDA plus the free cash flow means that we were extremely, I would say, careful. Also, that it doesn't mean that we switch off the tap for CapEx, which would be harming the company. So it means that year after year, when you look at the macro figure of CapEx and the split between maintenance and development, there should be stability. There will be probably a light increase in Chile because it is an opportunity, but all together we manage that, so stability will be the word. And as I told you, we expect to bring back the net debt to EBITDA ratio close to 3 times at the end of 18. But what we have been doing very clearly is being much more selective in terms of CapEx. The ranking of priorities is probably harsher. And also what we are doing is We have increased the level of, I would say, a coordination when it comes to CapEx. What is good is that the entrepreneur spirit inside the business units is quite high. And when there are many different projects related, let us take an example, which is digital and projects like that, we are ranking in Paris what can be done and what is going to be number one or number two. With regards to your dividend cover, I'm not sure I fully took your question, and I do apologize. Could you rephrase it, if you don't mind? Excuse me.
I mean, I guess my question was that for 2018, at a DPS floor of 65 cents, do you expect that to be fully covered by EPS or the cover to be above one? That was essentially my question.
It's a quite relevant question, and let us dig a little bit inside that later on, but I fully take your point.
Okay, thank you.
We'll now take our next question from the line of Ollie Jeffrey with RBC. Please go ahead.
Hi there. I just wanted to clarify one thing I heard during the call, because I may have misheard it, and then I have one question on WTS. So the first question on clarification that I would like is, I thought I heard you say that from beyond 2018 you were targeting a growth figure of 3%. Could you please confirm that was said or if I misheard? And the second question I have is on WTS. I know currently you've got a contribution of $2.8 billion for 2018, but on current FX, current forward FX, could you please give us an indication of what that will be in euros?
Okay, so yes, I confirm that we said that the organic EBIT contribution, which means the three divisions, Water Europe, Recycling and Recovery Europe and International, at EBIT level, organic, is expected to be at 3% growth in 2018 compared to 2017. When it comes to the WTS, I'm not able to give you the detail. What I can tell you is just to repeat the fact that, as I said previously, based upon current Forex, we do consider at EBIT level from 17 to 18 that the impact of Forex, which is mainly US dollar, should be in the range of 25 million euros.
That's clear. Thank you. And the only other point was that on that plus 3%, are you applying that to also beyond 2018, or are you only giving guidance on 2018?
Okay.
We gave you in my speech clear informations that we believe that we will be above at least, we said, 3% growth in beyond 2018.
Great. Thank you very much.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. Mr. Chaussade, I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, thank you so much for all of you to be there on short notice. And, of course, Christophe and all the teams, Sophie, etc., is ready to answer tomorrow and the coming days to any of your questions, Sophie, Julien, and all the team.
Julien, etc., will be there too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good night. Good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect your lines.